So when it says in the Tripitaka that, one must be aware of sitting or standing, what is really meant by
that? At the moment of sitting.
The moment of sitting.
Or standing.
Be aware of reality,
yeah.
At the moment,
sitting,
yeah. What about the idea of sitting, like the concept of sitting?
Because the whole body is here. It hasn't gone yet, not just a moment of heart disappearing. So in reality, only a moment of heart disappearing, there is no self, no posture. That should be understood, that should be inside it.
Can there be awareness that the idea of us sitting? It's just being an idea.
When we talk about nama and rupa, there must be the characteristic of rupa or the characteristic of nama. So there can be the precise understanding of each one as different reality, like the rupa can never be nama and the nama can never be rupa. So when there is the understanding of nama and rupa, it's not the self who is understanding.
It's not the self that's understanding, but what about the idea of there being a self? Can there be understanding?
It's wrong view. It's wrong view. Ajetasika.
Can there be understood that it's or not? It's going to be beyond the moments for what they are.
At the moment of thinking that there is self, there can be the understanding that it's only thinking.
Just thinking.
Yes. So, the citta thinks.
So, at the moment of sitting, there can be the understanding, the thinking that I'm sitting can be understanding it's just
thinking.
A thinking of sitting.
When there is understanding, but it's very difficult for the one who thinks that there is always sitting.
Right.
That should be known as rupa. If there is no characteristic of rupa appearing, how can we say that it's rupa? For example, the whole body. Can we say that it's rupa when there is no characteristic of rupa appearing at all? We just dream about having the whole body as rupa. But when it's the precise understanding of different characteristics of nama and rupa, the characteristics of rupa must be exactly known by direct awareness and panya. And so when there is a moment of awareness of the object which is experienced through the body sense, where's the whole body? It's only in memory. But what is real? Hardness which is experienced directly. Just there is real. And when panya develops enough, the arising and falling away of hardness can be experienced.
But we do have an idea that we sit.
Because there's no understanding of the characteristic of nama and rupa that should be known as rupa or nama. For example, if one would say that feeling is nama. But when there is no awareness of a kind of feeling, it's only thinking about feeling. But when there is awareness of pain or whatever it is, it's there. So that characteristic is kind of nama. The feeling is nama. So it's not just thinking about nama as nama, but it's the direct experiencing of a characteristic and develops the understanding that it's not me anymore. Pain cannot be self, it is conditioned because it arises through there, the body.
But wouldn't a Sotapanna have an idea that he sits or she sits?
When we, as Sotapanna knows what is Paramattha Satcha and what is the Sammuti Satcha. Because the rupa can be experienced through the five senses and the nama, including Banyakti, can be the object through mind all. So Sotapanna knows everything correctly.
But knows that this,
how
the
could
idea
that be?
Of sitting is not self. It's just an idea.
Concept.
Just an idea of sitting.
Yeah, and that person knows too that it's through mind all, not through sense all.
So when they're saying that one knows one sits, it could be that there is knowing as sitting, but it's with understanding as no self that sits. It's just the thinking.
When one,
just thinking.
For the one who knows, but for the one who doesn't know, he thinks that there is a whole body sitting.
Right.
So when people came to see Buddha, he just talked about different senses, because it can be directly experienced even right at that moment.
If in reality we know all that appears through the body sense, hard and softness, temperature, etc., softness, why is there so much thinking and wrong view to the idea of someone sitting? Why
because
is there so much attachment?
It's a mixture of everything, like the sight and the idea.
Mixing up all the doorways and the different realities together. And
not understand each doorway as it is. There are many levels of attachment. For example, there is seeing very quickly, and the citta which follows in the process would be attachment or aversion unknowingly because so fast. But when there is the idea that it's a kind of flower, and then also the name, if you know the name, there's clinging. And there can be other kind of clinging, wanting to plant it or buy it or get it to the house or something like that. See? Many levels. But when there is understanding of reality, one knows exactly at what moment it conditions more lobha or less lobha. So it's quite very true to everyone to understand reality.
But we can say that we forget about the experiencing of realities. So regardless of what experiencing and what realities are appearing at this moment, there are all those rupas out there that, okay, together for convenience we call a tree, or these rupas that together are sitting as opposed to standing because of the way the rupas are formed together, even though all that appears is hardness or softness. But there are reasons why that particular concept forms up in that way, because even if there's nothing being experienced, there are rupas of
memory.
That's why we should understand more about the five khandhas. The memory helps or condition the sankhara.
Well, there's nothing wrong with having the concept as such.
No, you know, no. It would be very difficult to live without the concept.
But it's a question.
Impossible to live without the concept.
Yeah. It's a question of just realizing what is real and what is concept.
Yeah. To know when it's through mind or...
it's thinking. Knowing when it's mind, it's not confusing the concept.
So what it comes down to is we take concepts for reality.
Right.
If we didn't take concepts for reality, then there wouldn't be any any problems. So if we understand that awareness can arise at any moment, and if we understand what are the realities that can be the object of awareness as opposed to concepts, that's all we need to know, really.
We need to know the truth of nama and rupa in order to eradicate the idea of self. Otherwise there is no way. But there is a way, just only one way, by developing understanding with awareness of a characteristic of reality, to be sure that it's not self.
Jonathan said that when you were talking yesterday about the Satipatthana Sutra, or about the sitting standing, that you said that there was something in constituent teaching that was missing or something, was it all? Or something that wasn't clear? Or?
I don't know what you're saying there. I mean, I know Ajahn's talked about this before, and it makes sense when I hear it, and then I walk away, and then I question again why it is the way it is. But it's clearer now since talking this time, but also because of reflecting on what was said in here, which when I go back and I can see Ajahn saying things, but maybe it's a bit, the presentation's a little bit strange. I didn't take it from what I had to think it through myself when it came to that conclusion. And so that's why I wanted to ask Ajahn, because here it says something very different. Then one sees the body in the body, which means that one understands that the body is not mine, not me, mine or self, which is a little bit different to knowing the moments of rupa as just rupa, not a body.
So if it's realizing hardness is hardness, not a body, isn't that the same as understanding that's not me, not mine.
I think maybe what's being said is probably getting to that, but when I read it, it doesn't say that to me.
Mm.
But someone else might read that and see it that way.
So it just depends so you can hear those words, oh, it's hardness, it's not self, but it can be read and understood in different ways according to
the understanding. There was something the other day that happened like that. I think it was on a tape yesterday, just the discussion we had yesterday, the way that Jonathan was talking with Ajahn, and Ajahn said something, and I took it to be something totally different until I listened again last night, and I thought, oh, no, she meant that. Although when she said it before that, it sounded like it meant something else different. And I did find in I think you can misinterpret what someone says. I've even done that on the internet when you make comments about something. I thought, oh, I can look at it that way.
That's why sometimes the literally translation doesn't help.
Right.
Because it's just directly translated.
I mean, it's the same if you were translating something written in English into Thai. You wouldn't want to take a literal translation. You have to understand the sentence or paragraph and then render it in the other language appropriately.
There's also a difference between spoken language and written. I remember many years ago when we were over in Tonnery local area there, and I was listening to the tapes and then writing down what Ajahn said. I would listen to the tapes and anything I thought was good I'd write down, which was most of it anyway. But I remember writing down quite a bit one day, and then the next day picking it up to look at it. And when I heard Ajahn speak, and I thought it really, I grasped something from it. I wrote it down, but when I read it, it wasn't the same. It's like it didn't have the same impact, because there was a presence of the voice. It made a big difference to being read. And I think this is what happens here sometimes, is that maybe when I look at it again, I can probably see some bits in there that are pointing to that, but I didn't see it when I first read it.
Well, even listening to a tape, a recording of a talk, is not the same as being there at the time, is it? Quite different.
Yeah.
There's no substitute.
So seeing is sound is important.
Everything is, I think. And your understanding of the Dhamma at that moment, like the first time I read this book through, and after the numerous times I had to go through it, translating it, the understanding is completely different.
Yeah, sure.
Well, when I read this, when it talked about body and the body, I took it to mean that body and the body meant the impermanence of things, or the no self of the moments, which to me is different than the moments of hardness and that make up the concept of there being a body here. Or all the different moments that arise through the sense doors that give the idea of being a body here. So there's all those moments of those realities that are the body in the idea of a body, which is a bit different.
Instead of saying body is not self, there is no self in
but
the body.
But it's still the body, in the sense that when one does know the moment, that it's not the whole body, but it's only the moment of experiencing, and the body there is only hardness or softness, just whenever it appears.
Body is a concept.
Yeah, but people think of body, and they try to see that body is not me, the whole body is not me.
Right.
When they use the word body in body and they doesn't have
exactly.
They do not
I was going to say, instead of saying body is not self, wouldn't it be better to say body is a concept?
Well, the second body is a concept. The first body is what makes up the
you
concept.
You know that the Gaya in Thai is translated as body, the whole body, Gaya. But in Pali, Gaya is whatever comes together is the body. So at that very moment, there is not just one atom of rupa, many, many atoms with spaces in between. So one has to understand the meaning, not just the word. Because if one translates the Kaya as body, one thinks of the whole body, permanent body. But when one knows what is meant by body, it's the many rupas or many things come together. It's called body. So the citta and the cetasika is called namakaya. Body is kaya, but it's namakaya because right. many cetasiks come together. So the realities which come together there is kaya. So it has to be understood by original meaning and the word they use, like in Thai, kaya. If the Thai who does not understand the Pali, or the Thai who understand Pali but not understand the reality, they can be misunderstood.
When you say body in the body, I understand that the first body is the reality and the second body is the concept.
See the body in the body.
The first is the reality, but which creates the concept.
Yeah, but it's not the whole body, see? No. Because one has to understand that there must be the body sense. Mm. If there's no body sense, nothing like heat and coldness and things like cannot appear. So it must be that the object in everyday life is only visual objects, sound, smell, taste, and tangible object in one's life that one clings to. No more than this, and only the idea of all this mixed up as thing or people. So that should be the exact understanding of a moment, like the moment of experiencing tangible object. That at that moment there is no body. Even at the first moment of being aware, there is no whole body. That's why in order to eliminate the idea of the whole body that we used to take the whole body for a long, long time, there can be the perfect understanding of the moment of experiencing tangible object until that moment appears through mind door as just a moment of nama which experience the object through body sense, no self. So the meaning
body?
Of no self is just not, don't take the body as self. That's not enough.
Is it only the body sense that's experienced to get the idea of body? Nothing visual?
After seeing the memory of the shape and form, can perform the idea of someone, somewhere, but not the experiencing of tangible object. Mm.
So when we're talking about the body and the body,
because
it is
we can
tangible.
Look at the picture, right? A portrait or the picture of mountain and tree, no tree there in the picture, only the color. So it's like now, only the color, but the idea from memory, take it from this and that, like taking something in the picture.
So when we say the body in the body, the body is only that experience, the rupa experience. It's not
the
Gaya. It's not a visual.
Yeah, not the whole body, because Gaya is the rupa which comes together. Whatever comes together like group of cetasika is called namakaya. Rupakaya is this, rupakaya.
So when we get the concept of sitting, it is due through, it is because of the senses through the body.
We
get the idea of sitting.
I think that the whole memory, the memory of the whole part from this to this
comes from the different experiences through the...
There is no experience, but the idea from seeing and touching, mixed up as something like human being or animal world.
But we could sit in a dark room and know we're sitting through the...
There can be
the
as long as there is the memory of my body, there would be the memory of sitting.
When we talk about body in English, and it's always a concept, but when you talk about kaya, the Pali, and you say, well, it's the collection, the gaps, and but it's still a concept because it's not a moment of harness or a moment of physical object. So it's still a concept. You could say the concept is a little bit more accurate, but it's still a concept.
Mm-hmm.
That's
why we have to study Abhidhamma, the absolute truth, absolute realities.
Can you read that first chapter and afterwards and see if you think that that's what it says? Because he seemed to have a lot of problems with it, because he even mentioned the body in the body, seeing the body in the body. He's thinking it's a visual thing.
Butsavong.
He was having a hard time with that concept.
Well, I think because the Satipatthana Sutta is so well known and so well read in either Thai or English, and so totally misunderstood, and people have the idea through their meditation practice that they should be aware of parts of the body, and of course they're just talking about concepts, that it's very difficult.
Because they just read one line or two lines, and that's not enough.
That's how it
without the Abhidhamma.
Mm-hmm. No. You need a lot of Abhidhamma to understand.
The breath is the same thing,
exactly.
It's a pressure.
Only the tangible object. But people are so excited.
It's like also it's just like another posture or something.
Yes.
So people really take breath more.
But it's more subtle than the other tangible object.
Yes, because it seems as it's real.
And it's not for everyone. Only for those of great panya, like Arahanta.
Because
it says in the Tibet, but it does not appear like visible object and other tangible objects.
But you could say softness by the nostrils appear, or
does it appear now? Does it appear now?
Maybe,
yes. But that's
but you stopped them.
I mean, yeah.
But that is not daily life.
It doesn't normally.
No. For example, when I'm doing my yoga,
if you're running,
in different
for example,
reality.
If you're running,
matter,
then it would appear.
It doesn't matter as long as it's tangible object.
Yes.
You shouldn't be too excited.
It doesn't
to,
matter. It's not important. Because you just say, oh, does it appear in daily life?
But people do not think like that. They say that one has to, or
they
one should concentrate on breath.
So you
but what about
run
the understanding?
More, and then you'd have more breath appearing, so you develop more.
Well, you do
but
get
no
a
understanding.
Sense. There is a sensation, in there is a sensation of pressure that one associates with breath. We'd say it's here, but it's
that is
it's
not the breath. That is not the breath.
It's just a sensation. We say it
when you
because
have a cold.
Rupa arises and passes away so fast. So when breath appears, it means that it arises and gone completely there, not here or the other part.
Right, there is a sensation. Or you call that breathing as against breath.
But it's not the breath which is conditioned by citta. But it's the succession of the rupa, because uttu conditioned rupa too.
Sorry, what is the distinction between breath conditioned by citta and breath conditioned by...
It says that breath is conditioned by citta, not by kamma, not by uttu, not by ahara. So when breath appears to awareness, not at will, but only when awareness is aware by itself, by conditions to be aware of breath, there can be the development of understanding breath as tangible object and become detached, not just want to have more, see. So people mistake the development of panya as wanting more instead of become detached and detached and detached from taking everything for something very important or as self.
So when you say certain realities, for example, are only experienced or only known by highly developed or by the arahat, it's not because...
Like Buddha himself and the other disciples.
It's not because there's anything inherently good about these realities, it's just the nature of things that the more finely tuned the panya, the more it will know, but it's not that the realities are anything important for them.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't attach any importance, it's just that that's how it happens.
Yeah.
Well, I think the other reason that people attach so much importance to breath is because it's one of the objects of samatha. They know this and
but it's very difficult to have breath as object of kusala citta with detachment.
Because
one wants to one wants to concentrate on it.
It's so integral to our idea of ourselves and
it's
life.
Good to have breath, some say that. Some would say that it's easy, very easy. How can it be easy?
Well, I think at a very beginning level of samatha, for example, now we reflect on how our life and all our possessions, everything that's important depends on the moment of breath.
But when you ask someone about what conditioned him to concentrate on breath, he doesn't have this answer.
No, he doesn't have this answer, but I'm just saying it's so difficult, but actually, if there is some understanding, there can be.
That is the only beginning.
That's the very beginning of
The development of
an object, right. And maybe, in daily life, maybe sometimes there's some experience of softness, so it may be some awareness of softness, but it's not important, it doesn't matter. I agree, for most people, it's because there's so
and
much.
Breath has to appear to them too.
Yes.
Not try to.
Yes, but of course they try to, or they want to concentrate on it, or they want to.
Without any understanding.
Without any understanding.
So it's wrong with vichatiti.
Yes.
Wrong concentration.
Yes. But actually, if there is some understanding at the level of samatha or vipassana, you say it's very difficult. But actually, just a little bit of beginning level of samatha, it's not difficult if there is some.
But for vipassana, it doesn't mean anything at all, because what about the understanding of visible object and the seeing?
Well, it's like saying, okay, softness here is more important than softness here. It doesn't make any sense. It's not, if there is some understanding, it's not difficult, but it doesn't matter.
Because we don't have to call it breath or softness or hardness to body sense. And clinging is very difficult to be known that it's there.
So some things seem to arise with a particularly subtle form of clinging. Other things arise with a more gross form of clinging. But when it's the breath, it's a particularly subtle form of clinging.
Clinging is clinging, but the object is subtle. Clinging can cling to everything, subtle or not subtle.
But can't there be very subtle forms of clinging, like with the breath?
It should be said like this only through vipassana jnana developed, because there can be attachment in between all the time, to see more and more, clearer and clearer, that it's there. It's not kusala.
Since there is any preference or minding of the object, it's there immediately.
And even after that, it is finer and finer.
Yes. Yes, even
so something like clinging to the coming, for example, that is.
Or to the object. Even its heat, it's me. It's still me when panya is not developed enough.
I mean, even if there is awareness of heat.
It's still my body.
So there's just clean, there's no different degrees of clean.
Yes, there is, depending on whether panya has developed or not.
Like a moment of clinging, there can be different degrees at a moment or that follow in many moments.
At the moment.
At the moment, there can be different.
Yeah, because when you see a rose and when you see an
Bicycle.
Well, it depends on what we like, in other words.
Yeah. That's why the Thai word raka, you know, the price, come from the Pali term raka, attachment. So the cost of it depends on how much lofa you have towards that object.
So there can be subtle clinging, as Jonathan said.
Not obviously there can be strong clinging or weak clinging, because if we like something a lot, we just cling stronger. But my question is really whether some objects attract a particularly subtle form of clinging that makes it difficult to really be aware that there is clinging at the time.
What about even the object is not subtle, but you have strong attachment because of your accumulation?
Yes. Yeah, we can understand that.
Would we have strong attachment to breathing, wouldn't we? The concepts.
Well, in a sense, it's different, again, if you take the beautiful flowers that are in your face, as it were, and it's very easy to see why they would be attached to the rising. But breath, I mean, why is it in its nature the object of clinging? Because there's nothing particularly appealing about
The pressure itself is nothing appealing. It's a concept that goes with it.
And to you, is breath very important, a great thing for you to cling to? No. So one is just, one is told about it. That's
it's
all.
Just what one has read or the wrong view you have been...
Or one is told by someone.
Or we cling to the attachment, right, rather than to the breath. We cling to we cling to the concept rather than the breath.
Most of the time you're not even conscious of eating.
If no one ever told us, though, we'd still have this very subtle form of attachment.
Yeah, and we don't mind. We don't even have time to think about it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We'd still work it out that breathing was very important.
What about someone with asthma who has trouble breathing?
Then that would be something vital indeed.
Yeah. Well, I was very ill for 2 or 3 years, and then last year I learned a breathing technique, and it completely solved my health problems, and now I don't need to take any medication. So I was really concentrating a lot on my breath. But for me, it was just like something I'm doing for my health. It was very useful.
Once the problem disappears, you're not
conscious. Once
really
the problem
conscious.
Disappears, I'm, I wouldn't say not conscious, but it's more routine. I mean, it's not something I attach any importance to, but actually during that time, because I had to do a lot of exercises, holding my breath and this and that, so actually...
But with understanding, you know that it depends on something to be aware of anything.
Anything, anyway.
So you don't mind about...
No, it doesn't.
Like those who just want to.
Yes. So
have
if
just
there was
breath
some
as object.
Softness there, it's okay, it doesn't matter. I don't have to turn it away, but it doesn't matter.
That's a right attitude, right understanding.
May I ask you the definition of raka?
Raka is attachment or clinging.
Lopa is the same?
Lopa, Lopa has many names, not just only one name. So raka, depending on your attachment, your own raka or lopa. Even it's only the common price, but it can be more if you want to have it, really want to get this one from the other.
Mm-hmm. And it might also cost accumulations of that thing. Yeah.
When you said we're talking about not minding or not differentiating between the object of awareness or between the reality that appears, and then you said, oh, and more, you mean deeper, or...?
There's the understanding of awareness is awareness. You cannot control it. You cannot direct it. It depends on awareness to arise and be aware of whatever object.
Now there are conditions for breath to appear?
No?
Yeah, no, because we've been talking about it.
Does it appear to you?
Not for me.
Yeah. Slight cold, so, and we've been talking about it, so
it's gone completely.
I do remember when I have colds and you know things like troublesome.
Then you notice the sensations
But at that time, it's concept of breath, not the reality of breath. See?
Well, there could be more.
But if it appears, then why is it more difficult to have any awareness of that object than any other object?
We talk about the person who just want to have it as object without understanding, because it's told in Thailand that everyone should concentrate on breath. Very easy, they say, which is not like that at all. Why one must be aware of a specific object? What for?
Must have been also a reason why in the Buddha's time he talked a lot about awareness.
That is not a reason. He talked about the development of understanding.
But maybe people also had the idea in those days that it was something.
Didn't he say about seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching?
Yep.
So why not pay attention to that?
But in those days, lots of people developed jhana.
Maybe
breath
as object, so that's why he gave some stress to it.
But it's said that it's not easy.
Not easy, so maybe concern or something.
Kunjit, do you have any interest in breath? Would you like to be aware of breath?
No, yet. Trick question.
In the case of jhana with awareness of breath, does that require, you were talking about wholesomeness and breath earlier, is that the same case in jhana, that there has to be a...
One has to understand the development of jhana, that it needs the panya, which can see the difference between kusla and akusla. Otherwise, the kusla citta cannot arise very often in order to have the concentration with tranquility and with panya. Because it's the development of tranquility, but it has to be done by panya.
About jhana, you made some reference yesterday in the discussion.
Yes.
Yeah. Jhana, was it?
Yes.
Is it the context of nama rupa parijñana?
Jhana is not jhana.
No.
Yesterday we were talking about levels of understanding and nama rupa parijñana, and you made some reference to jhana, and afterwards I wanted to pick you up on it because
I may have mispronounced. Sorry.
Oh, you might have been talking about jnana. Okay.
Right.
Just checking, Emma.
Sorry.
Just checking you weren't going off on some jhana.
But
the level of samatha, so I gave the kindergarten example, oh, okay, we can reflect how everything in our life depends on breath at this moment. And then...
Can they understand their children?
It's like the very beginner level, the kindergarten level for me.
But not to the children.
Not the children. Adult kindergarten.
Although actually I might with my students mention this, or your possessions and your computers, everything. It can go at any moment. So I might say something like this, but for myself, for my own reflection, this is how I have a reminder in my life that everything just depends on this moment of breath.
When breath appears. There can be right understanding of breath at that moment with this idea.
Yeah.
But not when breath does not appear, it's only reminding or recalling.
It's just thinking, just reminding, yes. So this is just very beginner level. Is there any...
Of what? Of breath or what? Beginner of breath
beginner
or what?
Beginner level of samatha and daily life of...
But there are 40 objects that can be developed in daily life, like death.
I reflect on death in the same way, similar thing, or you know, all our possessions, everything's so important.
Or metta, kindness.
Yes, because there can't be satipatthana all the time, so it's useful to hear about or develop other kinds of kusala, because when it's kusala, it's not kusala, and most of my day...
But even samatha breath is not easy. Kindness can be developed more.
More.
Yeah. Because you see many people in a day.
But anyway, as we're talking about breath, so even at the beginning level of samatha, it's only reflecting like that at the moment when breath.
Because usually people think that they can have kusala when there is no seeing the other, like thinking about having met that was this and that person and on. But what about the actual moment of seeing? It should be the actual moment of developing metta. Or if breath does not appear, should we think about it? Or whenever it appears, there can be right understanding when there is such object appearing.
But for that example that I gave, it's a moment of wise reflection or calmness at that moment, I don't actually see why it matters whether breath appears at that moment or not. You know, if you just say at this moment when it doesn't appear, okay, everything depends on this moment.
What about talking about seeing when there is hearing and talking about hearing when there is seeing?
Well, it's better to talk about hearing when there is seeing than to talk about
when there is
going
hearing.
To the cinema.
I remember at one of the discussions, Dhammada said, could you ask Ajahn to show her being conscious of movement or something like that. Could you show us how to be conscious of movement?
But I mean, it's like you could say, well, there's no conventional death at this moment, but we can still reflect on how everything...
What about when there is death? You heard about death, and there is a dead body.
Well, then it's like prime time opportunity, but I mean, you can't just... If there are conditions to reflect now, maybe there are conditions to reflect now. So, just conditioned that way. So, it can be just as useful as even when there is a dead body.
Because dead body is there as proof. As a proof.
Need the proof.
If there's no awareness, then there's no knowing whether or not it appears, right? It could be appearing, but if there's no awareness, then there's no... Otherwise, it's just thinking about whether or not there was...
That doesn't make it disappear, it's still there, but you're not simply conscious of it.
There's no sati of it.
Mm. We all know that something can make us fly into an instant. Not necessarily a rage, but at least a minor eruption.
Right.
But what I'm saying is, it seems that no lobha appears, but is it because there is no awareness that it seems that no lobha appears? If there's no awareness or no understanding, then there's no knowing whether or not it appears.
Well, I suppose you could say the same as the lobha that's arising now. Does it not appear because
you could say
of
it
lack of awareness?
Exactly.
Or does it not appear because
it doesn't appear?
It doesn't appear.
Yeah.
Like lobha for sweets, you mean?
Lobha for sweets. Mm-hmm. Or,
which...
Coffee.
That's why some people say they have no more lobha or dosa, you know.
Right.
You know, just,
yeah.
They're just not conscious of it, because even though it's there every day.
Mm.
I have a question about chetana arising with vipaka citta.
Mm-hmm.
It's chetana that's arising with kusala or akusala. Seems much easier to understand
than
chetana arising with vipaka, even intellectually. Yeah. So chetana that arises with vipaka, such as the moment of seeing or hearing, there's...
A birth moment.
Right, or birth moment. Well, there's chetana, but let's say at the moment of seeing, because that's a little bit...
When one understands the characteristic and the functions of chetana, one knows it is there.
One knows it must be there, but...
Because it's... that characteristic which urges the others to perform their functions whenever they arise together.
But the chetana that arises with vipaka citta, such as a moment of seeing, can there be awareness of the chetana at that moment? Or
anything can be object of sati.
It does arise.
Anything. But who can?
In theory.
And who cannot?
In theory, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So one just understands theoretically that it must arise for seeing to do its work. Seeing couldn't do its work if
for
there's no
any
chetana.
Any moment of citta.
And why is chetana kama?
Chetana is intention or volition. So it's the one who performs the function of action, like killing. Intention to kill, intention to steal, intention to perform good deeds. That is the function of chetana. Since it's the one who performs the act, it conditions the vipaka later.
When there's seeing, and it arises with
the seeing consciousness.
And it does its, what function is it doing?
The function is intention, or the one which urges the other to perform the functions.
So,
like the head of the student.
And when it arises with vipaka, it doesn't perform the function of kama.
But it is, because the kama is to urge at that very moment.
So it can be vipaka and kama at the same time?
It is kama. The chetana is kama, because it's the one which urges or which acts, which does.
But it can arise with vipaka, which is the result
with
of
any
kama.
Chitta, with any chitta.
It's not kama in the sense.
It is by paccaya. It is sahachata, which means the
accompanying. So it's urging. It's actually at that point. It's urging and doing its work at the same time.
You can't condition vipaka, though.
How do you
Chetana arises with each citta.
Yeah.
So it can be kusala, akusala, right. Vipaka, or kriya citta.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's vipaka, it does not have the ability to condition the result in the future.
So it's not kamma.
So it is sahachata kamma. Sahachata means arise together with other cetasika at that very moment. Just perform its function. And then
not condition.
Right.
And no results.
So there are two kinds or two functions of cetana.
Mm.
To arise with the others and urge the others, and to condition the vipaka in the future.
Even
as kamma that we used to know. But actually, cetana is kamma no matter whenever it arises. By being sahachata, arise together. Condition the result together simultaneously. But when it is the other one which conditioned the vipaka in the future, at that time it's not the sahachata, because it cannot arise together with the vipaka then, but it conditioned the result later. So it is na nakanika kamma patriya, which is the kamma that we used to know, that the kamma conditioned vipaka, that is na nakanika kamma. So there are two kinds.
The first one is
sahachata.
And it urges, did you say?
Yeah.
And how does that urge? I mean, I can understand it arising there. And
that is the action, the function of jhetana, to urge.
To urge in which way?
To like stir up or condition the others to perform, to act, to
do.
To incite someone to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're not talking about a person, are we?
We're talking about jhetana.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. No, that's what I'm saying, just trying to understand that.
So even at a moment of kusala, like it can either be sahajata,
chitta,
or
nanakanika kamma. Whenever vipaka arises, it's by nanakanika kamma.
When
vipaka arises, there must be the chetana which produced the vipaka.
Oh.
Whenever there is result, we can trace back to the cause.
Yes.
Or when there is cause, we can think about the future result.
Now, if we're talking about at the moment of kusala, so the chetana is either sahajata or
nana kanika kamma. Nana is different and kanika is time.
And it's
not the same time.
Is it just a matter of degree of strength? At that moment of kusala, how is the chetana different? Is it just that one is stronger than the other?
When it reached the degree of being kamma, kammapatta, which can produce results.
So whenever it's nana.
Yeah. For example, if you like just this one, the taste, it's not nana kanika kamma pachaya. It is sahachata and it is upanisya pachaya. Another condition. So there are altogether many, many conditions, at least 24.
So in terms of recognizing or understanding the difference in those chetanas, one knows because one is much stronger or more determined, could you say?
It must have factors in order to say whether it's kampata or just ordinary akusala. For example, intention to kill and intention to eat is different.
But chetana is always kamma, no matter
where. It has to be that one.
So in fact, kamma can arise as vipaka, with vipaka?
Chetana.
Only vipaka.
Chetana can arise with all kinds of citta. So it can be kusala, akusala, the cause and result, vipaka and kriya.
We talk about even in the first vara, in the first process of citta, about how there is attachment to birth or being, and we talk a lot about attachment to birth or being. Are we just talking about attachment to a concept?
In order to know whether its concept is the object or the paramada is the object, whenever it's not the paramada dhamma, it must
be
concept.
So when we talk about how in the very first process of life there is attachment to being, it's just attachment to that concept.
To whatever appears.
Being as in
as a consciousness
just to
of
exist,
life.
To exist.
Yeah.
Exactly. Just to existing.
Yeah.
But that's even that, attachment to existing is a
concept.
So it's just
but
attached.
It's not the idea of thinking, it is the attachment to whatever appears as object.
So does it mean attachment to seeing, attachment to hearing?
There is no
whatever.
Yeah.
So
but
it's a different meaning, different meaning of being than we have normally.
Mm.
But the first process is not seeing.
No.
So there cannot be attachment to seeing or hearing.
So it's just what is
attachment? Being, of becoming.
Of being, of becoming. Like something being there.
The being, when we say anything. That of just being or that becoming, that's just,
so the object is existing. It's not exact.
It's not exact, so it's just a vague concept then.
For example, when one gets up and one feels so pleasant at that moment, what is the object of pleasantness?
Mm-hmm.
See?
Mm. Just
happy to be alive.
It's not a concept, though, is it?
We can say that whenever it's not Paramada Dhamma, it's concept. Yeah. But we cannot say that that moment is concept or what.
Because it's attachment to something that can be whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything is, in other words, everything is...
It seems that there's no thinking, but there must be thinking.
Or it can be Paramada Dhamma, who knows, at that very moment.
But then at the moment you would only have the body sense.
Right.
Mm. But there is citta and jetasika.
Can be anything that
pleasant feeling or whatever.
So the English word is not so good.
It's not consciousness. It's not pinpoint what is the object of the lopa javana of the first process in life.
So would it be different for different people?
For example, right now we don't have to figure out what is the object of our attachment, but it can be the attachment to life or becoming.
Mm. Well, that's definitely a concept, yes.
It can be anything. Yeah.
It's like non-attachment to something, the opposite.
Attachment to more whatever
so
arises.
So one can see that only one process doesn't give us clear understanding of the object yet.
Getting back to lopa, which we were talking about earlier, lopa conditions everything we do in a day, all of the things we do in a day.
Except in Chandu.
Lopa arises almost in the day.
Right.
Modern
does lopa lead us to do most of the things we do in a day?
Mm-hmm.
But that lopa doesn't necessarily appear, does it?
It's hard to know.
Is arise more than any other kilesa?
No, well, I mean, that's why, going back to that question your friend had, he said that in his life, or in his working day life, the things he wants he doesn't seem to be able to get, and the things he doesn't want he does get.
Mm.
And it's because he doesn't see the lopa that so much in his life he's getting that he has lopa for, but there's no seeing of the lopa.
It's just lopa really, isn't it?
So there are many things that we cannot directly experience, but we can develop understanding, even if it's not clear.
Yeah.
But it helps us to know that how much we have accumulated lopa.
Yeah, otherwise we would think that there was no lopa, even
though
Ask that question.
Which question?
Breath.
I've asked all.
Already. Yeah. Intake?
Asked by. Was the breath?
Which one?
Your breath.
Are you interested in breath. Studying breath, Amra?
No. Not Amra, Al.
No, it's just, I think we talked about it last night with Jonathan and this.
If there is any particular object that you'd like to experience, it means what?
Loba.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And usually wrong view, because there's maybe some idea of direction or control.
Mm-hmm.
Usually when people have the idea of some object being better than another, usually there it would show wrong view, or thinking one can control the understanding. Okay, I give a quote. Even though the reality is only hardness or heat or whatever, it's still us because it does not appear elsewhere. And the Atasanya still remembers that right here our arm is hot. If there is awareness of hardness or heat, it's like saying it's still us, you mean?
Until it can eliminate the idea of the body, the whole body.
But at that time of awareness of heat or hardness, no wrong view of self. But what you're saying is still there is the latent tendency and the underlying
and
idea.
The development of panya will eliminate the idea of self.
The question about, I can't find the exact quote, but so the arahat has eradicated kalesa and no more karma will be produced, and only has kiriya citta
and vipaka.
And I think, Amara, you made some comment about how wonderful to only have the kiriya citta, but I don't see why it would be, or as an experience, better to have kiriya citta than kusala citta, just because it's not going to have any result in terms of the experience of the citta. Is there any benefit to having kiriya rather
no
than
no latent tendency for clinging to arise?
Right. Do any of us want nirvana? People think, oh, how wonderful to have no more defilements, but who is ready to give up their lobha now? Really, if we were really ready for nirvana, it would be nirvana now, but we're not ready to give up our defilements yet, right?
True.
We're not ready to give up our views and our lobhas.
Well, they do arise, put it that way. The concept of us having these things is probably not so accurate, but it does arise, and that's the way it goes. There's no conditions for it otherwise.
The lobha that's arising all the time.
All the time.
Okay. In my case, yeah. Yeah. But not when there's those arising more or less on and off all the time during the day. Okay. It's not necessary to be concerned about getting rid of that attachment or anything, because it's just part of life as it is.
Even one knows that it's very good to have no lobha. There's only thinking, so right. Why does concern?
But what's the difference between that and the attachment we were talking about yesterday, about attachment to having awareness, which can be a real hindrance to development of understanding? Mm-hmm. So that kind of attachment...
I mean, attachment to the idea of self.
Attachment to the idea of self is included in that, that we don't...
It's different from attachment to other objects, because the self doesn't let go.
How is the actual nature of the attachment different? Just degree?
The object.
Just because of the object?
And the cetasika which accompanies it.
The cetasikas that accompany the attachment are different. You mean the ditti and the...
Yes.
So does it mean it's important to try and identify attachment to self when it arises?
I think that the more we understand different realities, it helps one to see each one as anatta.
What sees, Ajahn? Is that just panya sees?
Panya sees reality as it is. Mm. Nama as nama, rupa as rupa.
With sati or without?
Certainly. Sati is one of the 19 sopana sadhana.
Is the English?
Sopana is wholesome, sadhana is common to all wholesome cetasikas. For the seventh, they call it universal. So can we say this is not universal because they can arise only with sopana?
Here, I don't know what this is from, it talks about kamasakata jnana, the knowledge that all beings have karma as their only real property. Can we talk about karma as the property of beings?
Karma sakata jnana is the confidence of karma.
Confidence of karma. I think this translation sounds a little strange.
Yeah.
Right? Because it sounds like out of a thing belonging. Yeah. And
so what does it mean, confidence of karma?
Really understand what's the cause and what's the result. Because one doesn't think that it just arises by accident.
So this is different from when we say, oh yes, karma is the cause. It's because at that moment it's not understanding the moment of seeing as a result of karma.
So when it's jnana, it's vipassana jnana, the jnana knows the reality which sees as it's conditioned, different from the kusala or akusala or attachment or aversion. Because when it's kusala, it's different from that moment of just being conditioned to see. So that is the vipaka.
And is that knowledge at the moment of understanding of seeing part of the characteristic of the understanding at the moment? So like a deeper penetrating understanding of that seeing, understanding that characteristic of seeing at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
As result of
nama,
karma.
Reality, which is the result
of karma.
So when there is the understanding of the seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching as vipaka, and the other different cittas like kusala and akusala, one can understand the difference of realities. But in order to see that they are all nama or rupa, that can help the eradication of self at the moment of understanding.
So it's understanding the characteristics of nama and rupa and being result of karma or being kusala or akusala
by
at that moment.
Being aware of more different
characteristics. Understanding the different.
So when one says that it's the understanding of the karma, it doesn't mean that just thinking about karma.
It's understanding the reality at that moment.
Then panya grows and grows and understand more. So it's not just the level of thinking about karma, but it's the moment of experiencing reality which is conditioned by karma.
You say that understanding or awareness has to understand nama as nama, rupa as rupa, before it can understand the individual characteristics of the different realities. Have I got it right? If we talk about developing something that there must be an understanding of nama as nama, rupa
first,
as rupa, before one can understand the characteristics of the individual realities.
When one says that there is the understanding of the nama, there must be the characteristic of one nama to be understood with awareness. Otherwise, it's just thinking that that is nama. But now, at the moment of seeing, the element which sees, we have to come closer and closer to that characteristic which is tattu or element which now sees.
So it's learning more about the characteristic of nama by experiencing the characteristic of a particular nama.
One by one.
So by understanding, seeing at this moment, it's understanding nama. It's not understanding seeing and then thinking that this is nama. So it's understanding nama and rupa means understanding seeing and visible object and hearing.
And also the thinking about it.
And thinking.
Does it mean understanding seeing as seeing, or does it mean understanding seeing as nama?
It's only the name or the word we use to interpret the actual moment of seeing. But we don't have to think in words.
If you say understanding seeing as seeing or understanding seeing as nama, what is the difference between seeing and nama?
Well, nama has the characteristic of a reality which experiences another reality, whereas seeing has the characteristic of experiencing physical object.
You can say when at the moment of understanding seeing, it's experiencing a reality. You can also say that about hearing, but at that moment it's understanding the namaness of it because it's experiencing different from what is experienced. So it's not different from seeing at that moment.
Later, one will know that seeing is seeing, and hearing is hearing, when one understands that they are nama.
I was listening to a tape of discussion with Robert, actually, when you were in New Zealand, and as far as I recall, I hope I'm not misquoting you, you said that we must understand nama as nama before we can understand
But what nama, see? There must be a characteristic of nama, which appears as seeing, or as hearing, or as thinking, or as feeling.
But if we take sound, for example, as rupa, then a visible object, when there's some awareness of sound or visible object, it seems to me that what I'm aware of or conscious of at that time is that as being the reality that's experienced through that doorway, rather than something that cannot experience an object, which is the characteristic of rupa generally.
But since its characteristic is that which cannot experience, so it can appear.
Yeah, but so can reality
when,
which can experience, can also appear.
But when there is moment of awareness of sound, it's the understanding of just adamma, and adamma, just adamma. Because usually it's not just adamma, it's something sweet or something about this and that story. comes in between. Right. But actually, when there is the understanding, it's so short, just a kind of
just
nama.
Something.
Yeah.
But the characteristic of rupa, if you say it as
dhamma.
A reality that does not experience another object, well, that kind of thing doesn't seem to be apparent.
When we explain in words, we have to say that it's that characteristic which cannot experience anything. But when it appears, we don't have to say.
It's just something.
Right, it's just something that appears.
It's just what appears.
Yeah. It's just a dhamma.
Sat-dhamma.
A dhamma.
Right,
Not a
thing. If you get down to that, then the actual nama rupa parijitya, which is the distinction between the characteristic of those two kinds of realities.
Because the mind appear to panya, while now at this moment when it's not vipassanayana, even there is mind in between, after bhavanga, after processes, mind seems to never appear. Because seeing and hearing, even there is thinking or understanding or taking whatever appears as something, but when it's so clear with understanding, mind shows up. It's characteristic that there is no other doorway mixed in at all. And we can start from the moment of birth. Is it dark or light?
Very dark.
Very dark. No sight, no sound, no seeing, no hearing, nothing. But there is, but there is an element which is there, see, which can experience, it has to experience whenever it arises. So this can compare to the moment of pavanga, birth, pavanga, and death, same, very dark. And what about mind, though, which succeeds the sense, though? For example, when it succeeds the idol, it has the same object as idol. But when it follows the ear door, it has the same object as ear door. So it must be very dark, but not as dark as when there is no object appearing at all.
So why do you say it must be very dark?
No light?
No object. No light.
There's no visible object, no sound.
Nothing appearing through either at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
So it's dark and quiet.
But when but when it's mind or process, even it's as dark, but it experiences an object. So one can see that element which arises and experience no rupa mixed in it at all.
So
and no, but you're not talking about thinking, no thinking.
Thinking is as dark.
Mm-hmm.
If
there's 17 moments,
is it so frightening? Nothing.
I was just going to say.
Yeah. So it needs the developed panya, only the developed panya which can experience it with understanding.
So for one moment of experiencing light through the idol, there's many, many moments of darkness.
Mm-hmm.
So there's more darkness than light in our life.
Mm-hmm.
You could say that.
Mm-hmm. But since the eyes though always arise, so it seems like it's not dark.
Because this, like the mind or process after the eye door process, because this doesn't appear.
So one can experience how short it is through mind though that the object appear. It's like one lives in darkness all one's life with the five holes.
Mm-hmm.
One is light and the other is sound. But after the flash of experiencing one doorway, the mind does receive everything and think the story up and keep on having the world and the people and everything in one's life until the next moment of experience two different doorways.
When we're talking about the first moments of consciousness and it's so dark and the bhavanga cittas are dark and these mind door processes are dark, whatever, because none of these cittas are being experienced because there's no understanding of them, I find it very hard to understand why they matter, why it matters.
Because there can be the understanding of the element which can experience object without any sense though.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not talking about thinking, you're just talking about
even thinking, even thinking.
So thinking is okay, but for the other moments of consciousness that are just experiencing, not thinking, not
and you can experience the demarcation because the mind does shows up. Otherwise it seems they succeed one another all the time.
I think that I can suggest another reason why it's important too. It's a bit like rebirth and that sort of thing, that it's not important that you necessarily understand it at any experiential level, but if you hold a view that is contrary to that, then it would be an obstacle to the development of understanding. It's not something that we have to have a degree of panya about, but if we are aware that that is the situation, then it helps us not to have a wrong view that is contrary to that.
Mm. But for example, to understand the details of the first, you know, process and how dark it is or whatever, one's not necessarily going to have a wrong view if you don't understand the details.
But one can see the different world that we used to live, brightness and people and things, and there's none. Except just that element which can experience an object. Yeah.
And by those moments of experiencing, you're not just talking about the bhavangas.
There can be bhavanga when no objects appear at all.
But are you just talking about the bhavangas, or you're talking
about bhavanga and the process too?
And the process. Mm-hmm. And so you're saying there can be awareness of moments of experiencing other than seeing, hearing, etc., and thinking, but other moments of just experiencing, and no need to work out or think about, oh, is it bhavanga, or is it mind or process, but just moments of experience, just accept like that, just moments
because
of experience.
Because it's there and panya is there,
no
not
object,
you.
Right. Yeah. And so these moments of experiencing, never mind about the object or.
It's just the perfect understanding at that level of the difference between nama and rupa, because there is no I anymore.
So the point of hearing these details and developing this understanding of those moments of experiencing is to just understand more different namas, to distinguish more
because
between.
Because now we're talking about nama, it seems like there is some understanding about the characteristic nama, but is that the characteristic yet when it does not appear? But when it appears, you can see how it is
different from the moments of seeing or hearing. Or
besides that, when you're born, it also depends on what you had accumulated your last life, where you would be born, whether you would already have eyes or, you know, fully developed as a deva or something like that also, wouldn't it?
But at that moment there is no idea at all, because the first moment is the birth consciousness, and follow that is bhavanga, the same object, and the same state, the vipaka.
And then after that the
and then
comes
after
in.
That the process, the first process is the attachment to the becoming.
Something that always seems very difficult for me to understand is how we were talking earlier about those chetana which are kamapata and will produce results, and we know that rebirth in this plane is a result of a good karma, but why just one chetana could have such a big result like that?
Because when one is studying Buddhism or the Buddha's teaching, we shouldn't forget that we are studying the panya of the Buddha himself. We just begin to know what Buddha has enlightened. So he taught us about all realities that he had enlightened. So we don't have to be like him, or we don't have to understand the birth consciousness and the bhavanga, but since it's taught by him, and we develop the understanding of nama and rupa, and the cause and the result, like the karma and the vipaka, and we learn to understand realities which are nama and rupa in order to prove by oneself, to really understand by oneself, not just by his teaching only, but by being able to experience all the teachings that we can by our accumulation of studying and understanding.
Could you
Could one say that the reason that, you know, one chaitana can be so powerful is because actually it's not one chaitana, because it's, or in the citta is accumulated all the previous kusala and akusala accumulations to make that chaitana at that moment so powerful to produce its result? Mm-hmm.
That's why we should understand the 24 conditionality. But even in a very short moment of citta, how many jetasikas and conditions? Yeah.
And there must be several degrees of jetana also.
Mm-hmm. Because citta are different. Even lopa has many degrees.
It's very helpful. Thank you very much for all the details.
Mm-hmm. And then also, isn't it because jetana has its own function, you know, that's what it does. Exactly, to produce more karma in that capacity. And sanya is also very powerful, isn't it? In its own function, it governs our own lives, all our lives, because everything is stored there.
Stored?
Isn't it? It's memory.
No, it's not criticizing. I'm interested in the work.
You could say panya also, all the chaitasikas.
Memorize. How about that?
Well, just we can use all sorts of words, I guess. For
But not in the sense of the pictures.
No.
Not in the sense of hard drive storage.
Right.
Banana.
Must be.
Vipaka or kusla or akusla or kirya.
All of them.
That's right. All of them, because we have all four states, kirya citta. What are the kirya cittas that we have?
The bhavanga ones.
No, bhavanga is vipaka.
But it's in that sense door process, isn't it?
Before seeing moment.
Before seeing moment.
Okay. And before mind door process. It's the first citta in the process.
The kirya citta.
Kirya citta. We have two, panchadvara vachana and manodvara vachana. And sense
idol averting.
Yes.
And what's the definition of kriya citta again?
The citta which is not vipaka kusala.
Gee, that would be a hard characteristic,
you know. In operative.
I like inoperative as a good word, because it does operate. It just doesn't produce any results. Yeah.
So we have to change many words in
non-productive.
I did.
In the Tipitaka and also in Attakatha commentaries too.
To produce results.
That's why we don't mind what word is used, but we try to understand the characteristic of realities, because it's very difficult to use any word to fit.
Can it be known? Can the kriya citta?
It depends on what degree of panya.
I mean, realistically. We're not talking about the Buddha's language.
In the laboratory.
Should we talk about having the characteristics?
Whatever is real can be known by different degrees of panya, and who's panya, and who's panya, and who's panya. It depends on who's panya.
Exactly.
If it arises or if it appears.
No, if it arises, then it can. There should be the ability to see it. There should be there can be conditions to see it.
But there
don't
many,
know
the many realities which arise, which
you won't.
Can never.
No, no,
can they never appear.
No, no, they don't appear. There's so much that doesn't appear. But that's the thing is, it does arise. So if it does
arise,
it can't appear. If it does arise, then there must be.
But you.
Can be recognized.
But you must understand the keenness panya, because citta and cetasikas, even they arise together, so short, very, very short.
So in fact, the cetasika has to be pretty strong to show itself, I mean, to lead in a certain direction.
I say that it depends on sati. We leave it to anattaness. We don't mind whether sati is aware of breath or not.
We just accept them. There are many realities which arise that only the Buddha's panya could ever aware of.
Right.
They're meant like for the characteristic of panya to appear. For sanya, for example, you would have to have it acting up in the midst of all these 50 whatever cetasika as sort of
51 if the ditty's gone, right?
That's right. But anyway, and for jetana to really, you know, lead or be able to
come up in a prominent way so that others can know it, like sati can recognize it, it would probably have to be arising in a stronger way than, you know.
What about when Chetan is so strong and no one knows that it's nama, see?
And that's the most often anyway. Yeah. It's like that all the time.
Right. And you see also with, so like samya, because it may seem to appear, but then there's so much confusing between sanya and thinking, and the characteristics get blurred because the understanding's not strong enough.
Or lobha and chanta, it could arise together or not.
Or it seems that the moment of awareness, then this can be thinking. Yes, it's. So that's why I think actually it's very helpful what Khonsu Chin said about, well, actually, when the reality, it's just a dhamma at that moment. It's, and but to talk about it, we have to use words and explanations. But actually, at that moment, it's just a dhamma that's known.
Nama and rupa.